Lord, to you. Amen. Praise God for this morning. I'm reaching out. Traveled the road all wrong. My heart had lost its joy. And the song, then grace placed me right where I belong. Mercy rewrote my life. For years I traveled.
Rewrote my life. Praise praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one of you. Greet every one of you in the name of the Lord. And it's good to be back home. And I want to thank all the brothers that helped out, stood in, and appreciate it. Appreciate each one. And I want to thank everyone as well. Daniel and Mika wants to thank everyone for the cards, for the gifts. And I just want to thank everyone. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads again this morning. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the name that's set far above every name. The name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we appreciate the words of this song. Mercy rewrote our lives. Lord, every one of us were cast down, cast out. We were separated from you because of sin. But Lord, you came and you bridged the gap. And you made the way back to God from the dark paths of sin through the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your precious blood. Wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the driven snow. Purge us, and we shall be like hyssop. Sanctify us, and we praise your name. Lord, we plead your blood on everyone in this house. We plead your blood on all our family members, friends, relations. We claim every soul to the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost right now. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. Pray you'll meet the need of every person. Think again of my own sister. Pray you'll give her full recovery, my Auntie Eiling. Give her full recovery. This dear woman that Carl's mentioned, give her full recovery. Lord, there's so many this morning, so many needs. But we ask you for a full recovery in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless your people, strengthen them, and do them good as we look to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I want to just read one scripture. Then I'm going to share with you. I don't know if I'll even get to the message or not, but I wasn't going to read this scripture, and I've been preparing from Friday to Saturday. From I came home, preparing what I would share, but I can't get rid of this scripture out of my mind. And all the whole time I was away, this just kept coming to me. And I thought, well, it's just coming to me and I won't read it. But then it's coming in this morning. And there passed a big field of wheat or barley, sitting ready for the harvester to run over. And then this scripture come to me again. So I'm going to read it again. I'm going to read it. It's John 4, verse 35. Let's go back till. Let me read you from verse 27. Christ witnessed to the disciples. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no man said, why seekest thou? What seekest thou, or what talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And in the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said, unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me to finish his work. Say not ye, therefore, are ye 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already on the harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, and that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Praise the Lord. This just kept coming to me, and coming in this morning again, kept coming again. But I'm going to leave it for a minute, but just want to read it. And then I don't know what I'll get to, but the Lord bless you. I want to thank everyone for your support. It was great to get a wee break away, almost without preaching. almost without preaching, but you know, when you're preaching for so long and then it's strange when you're not preaching, you feel backslid. If you're in a meet, go a week and you're not preaching. And I thought that strange. I haven't preached for a week. And boy, that felt strange for me. I don't know how long it's been from a felt like that. But we just want to thank everyone for your support going. And when Daniel told us he was getting married, we were rejoicing. We were glad. And I want to tell you, Brother John already had mentioned about it a long time before. And I knew nothing about it. The Lord must have showed him. And I thought, Daniel hasn't told me. How does John know? But John said it, mentioned it, and it came to pass. And he did get married and everything. And the Lord's good, isn't he? But we're just praying they get saved. They're not saved. We're praying they get saved. But we were glad when they said they're going to get married. And Mika and Daniel wants to thank everyone. We sent them a wee card or a gift. And they really appreciate it. It was a different wedding to what a wedding I did. But they're not serving the Lord. But I'm glad they got married anyhow. But the whole trip, from Daniel told us at the start, and the whole trip, everything, we didn't know how we were going to go because I had no money to go. And I wanted to go, but no money to go. And I knew Daniel wanted us to go, no money to go, didn't know how it's going to go. Paying too many bills for this and that, didn't know how we were going to go. And I just kept praying, and I felt the Lord would make us a way to go. And then Sharon had different doctor's appointments. She had to go and get tests done. And there's so many people, different things wrong with them. And the doctor scared the life out of Sharon a couple of times as well. But every test came back clear. And we thank the Lord for that. And then we're near the time to go. We looked at the flights. The flights was £8,000. We didn't have £8,000. Then Father said to me, we'll get them cheaper or not. So he found the flights for almost half that. And then a couple from England rang me. And they said, the Lord's blessed us. We want to send you a tithe. And they sent us the money for the flights. And it was looking like I was thinking maybe me and William will go, because we'll not have the money for me and Sharon and William and James to go. But the Lord made the way. And I'm going to tell you, God reminded me. God reminded me when he spoke to me many years ago. I will send you. Never mind how. Because I was sitting then, years ago, I was sitting and I heard this prophecy, you're going to go around the world. You're going to go to the far ends of the earth. And I'm sitting and I'm hearing it and I'm saying to myself, there's no way that can happen. Never been on a plane at that point. Not even England or Scotland. It's never on a plane at that point. How am I going to go? And then the prophet came back and said, I'm going to send you. Mm-hmm. Never mind how I've sat before you an open door. So Brother George sent me a message before I went. And he says, Brother, I have a wee box of scriptures here. Is it all right if I lift one out for you? And I said, sure, brother. I would like that. And that's the scripture he lifted out. I've said before you an open door. God reminded me again when I was in New Zealand. And I remember walking down past the chapel in Dromore. It's only out of jail. I'd got a job in Graham's Bakery. And something said in my look up. And I looked up, it's 5 o'clock in the morning, summer's morning, the white trails of the plains was in the skies, and the voice says, you'll travel across the world like that. I went on down and said to myself, you have some imagination, Tommy McKinstry, you're talking to yourself. And I'm going to be honest with you, when I came out of jail, I thought maybe mine was going a bit, because God talked to me a lot. And then the devil tried to tell me it wasn't God. You're imagining it. But it's all happened. It's all come to pass. What was said. So just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. It's all the Lord's mercy. All the Lord's grace. Daniel and his wife's maybe not serving the Lord yet. But claim them. believing God will do something. Praise the Lord. I want to thank everyone here for your prayers, for your support. And we had a real lovely time with Brother Howard. Howard's needs help. And he was really glad to see us, to be honest. He wanted me to stay. He says, you need to come and stay here for a few months. But the Lord has to tell me that. The Lord has to make the way if that was to happen. And God has to show me to do that. Outside of that, I can't do that. But I appreciated it. I knew they were glad I was there. And, you know, when I preached for Brother Howard, I believe the Lord anointed us. And I didn't even get finished in preaching. I felt such a grip to pray for Brother Howard. And I've been honest with you, I just wept over him when I prayed for him. And I just prayed the Lord to touch him. Because he needs God's touch. And it's such a wonderful church here. And there's lots of things I could say, but I'm not going to say it. But I'm going to show you a bit about New Zealand and mention a few things. Just might interest you. Interests me. But this is a map of New Zealand. Can everybody see it? I suppose you can see it. This is Hamilton, right? There's Auckland. So Daniel's up in about here. This is the North Island. This is the South Island. So Daniel's in a place called Dargaville. Show the picture of Dargaville, Matthew. This is Dargaville here. Just in here, Dargaville. So it's up near the top of the North Island. Then if you can go back to that other one, brother. So this is the north here. And this is the south. You have to get the plane over or the ferry to get to the South Island. It's probably 2 or 3 hours flying to get over. And we were up here with Daniel. Now, I know Brother John's been over here as well. And I was with John one of the times as well. And Auckland's in here. And we preached in Auckland when me and John was there some years ago. And Tauranga's for Brother Albert is. And we did meetings there as well. But this time we were up in Dargaville. So me and Sharon on the second weekend, they gave us a car and we drove the whole way down to Brother Hart's to Gisborne. So Gisborne's over here. It's east. So we drove the whole way down. It's about a 9-hour drive. And we thought, you know, 2 or 3 hours, but it was 9 hours. You can fly it. But when we heard the price of the flights, we decided we weren't flying it. And so we drove it. But Daniel's father and mother-in-law's Leon and Tracy, they're lovely people, they're farming people. They own 2 big massive farms. And they said, we have a vehicle we're not using. You can have it the whole time you're here. And they give us the vehicle. It was really good of them. And we had it the whole time we were there. It was great. So we traveled from Dargaville right down through here. And then we stayed in a place called Hamilton. I don't know if it's on that or not. If you can see it, it's maybe not on it. Is it? Yes, Hamilton. Hamilton, we stayed there the first night. It took us from dinner time to that evening to get to there. It shouldn't have took us long, but there was an awful traffic in Auckland with the scooters and everything getting off. So we stayed in Hamilton overnight, and we thought we were in another country. It was full of Muslims and all sorts of people in Hamilton. On the one street we stayed in this place. And there was Chinese restaurants right down the whole street. We didn't think we were in New Zealand at all. But it was nice. It was nice. And then we left there the next morning from Hamilton and we come on down to Gisborne to Brother Howard. And then we stayed with Brother Howard on the Saturday night, preached for Brother Howard Sunday morning. What we didn't realise was on our way back up, we're going to pass Tauranga. Coming down, we'd come down this side. So going back up, we're going to go up this side. So we came down one side, went back up the other side. And Albert says, there's better views up this here side than there was coming down the other side. And there was. So we actually got to stay with, well, we didn't stay with Albert, but on our way back from Hards, we called in Albert Race. I might be saying his second name right. And he's powerful testimony how the Lord healed him. All his vertebrae was out in his back, and we're going to have to operate on him. And they got him as far as the theatre, and the doctor said, Abagio wouldn't go for it. And he was praying, Lord, speak to me through the doctor. And the doctor said, I wouldn't get the operation. Abagio, he couldn't move. The doctor said he never seen a worse case. He went to bed, he got up the next morning, it's healed. Completely healed. And I'm going to be honest with you, see when we went this time, and I was there, it's probably near 2 years ago, he looked better this time. And I think, is he 72? 72. But he looked better than he did the last time I seen him. I said, well, he was looking. He looked good, I'm telling you, and fit. And he's 72 years of age. And he's got a church now, John, at the back of the house. He's built a big church at the back of the house. They decided if they could get a place in the town, lots of people would come. And they got a place in the town and they rented it and nobody come. And the tracks outside and everything, and they've got no extra people hardly at all. But they put this, they converted the garage at the back of its house, quite a bit of room, and they made a church there, and they hadn't even hardly opened, and new people come. And he says he doesn't know how they come because they hadn't even advertised. And they come. But yet he was in the middle of town, nobody come. So we can think, you know, if we had a hall in a certain place, people would come, but God filled Noah's Ark. And God brought the animals. And when God brings people, they'll come. And it's God that has to do it, and then they'll come. But I'll tell you, it was nice to get the night. Well, Howard booked us in Bethlehem Motel. He booked us in, what do you think of that? So we stayed in Bethlehem Hotel for a night. And Albert. And then Joseph, you hear me talking about Joseph. Joseph is a fella, John knows Joseph Bailey, and Joseph's father's come to the Lord. And Joseph's brother was in a meeting that me and my dad was in Auckland. And my dad and me prayed for him. And we prayed for Joseph's dad to get saved. Joseph's dad's, he's now linked up when they're living together and he's got saved. And he's serving the Lord now, Joseph's dad. Joseph and his friends was caught in a boat trying to find Ireland here. They robbed the bank. And that's true. I know it's like a fairy tale or a movie story, but he did a long time in jail. And Albert, and I think Howard was involved as well, used to go into the jail with the books and tracks and play tapes. And that's how Joseph got saved in jail. And he's serving the Lord ever since. So God's good, you know. And also, Jordy gave me a handful of tracks before I went. So I had the track swimmer and I had a wee black carrying bag. So this Hamilton that was owned, I think, by Muslims, put tracks and put every drawer in it. And then Bethlehem got some tracks. Just everywhere I went, got some tracks. So I left wee tracks everywhere. And you don't know, maybe somebody can read one of them and get saved. And we just thank the Lord for the Lord's goodness. So it was great to get there. Now, I'll give you some statistics. This is maybe not important, but I thought I'd share. Let's go to the next one, brother. The population of the North Island, 76% of the people live in the North Island, and there's 4 million people, 4 million and 44,600 roughly, in the North Island, and then go ahead to the South Island, then there's another 1.24 in the South Island. So the whole of New Zealand, that's 5.3 million people. Northern Ireland here is over 7 million. So there's more people. Who? North and South. Oh, no, but North and South, 7. 5.1 in the South here. And there's 2 in the North, almost 2 in the North. Put it up there, brother. We'll have it somewhere. You're right, Gary. There's a there. The South Island, New Zealand. Go ahead. Maybe I haven't got them, although it's not important. But the travel in New Zealand, in the north, from one end to the other, takes about 14 hours. I don't know if Matthew had it up or not, but it takes about 14 hours to travel it from the north to the bottom of the north, not the South Island, just the one island. And over here, does anybody know what it is over here? I looked it up this morning. I think it was about 10 hours or less from, oh, that's it, Matthew, that's it. Driving the length of New Zealand, 13 hours approximately. But it says realistically 16 hours. So it takes you 16 hours to drive from the top of the North Island to the bottom of the North Island. And then the South Island would take you 12 to 15 hours as well to drive it. On here in Northern Ireland, you could drive from the very bottom of Ireland here, right up to the top in between seven and ten hours. So all Ireland, north and south, is shorter to drive than the North Island of New Zealand. And we have 2 million people more on the island as a whole, as New Zealand does as a whole. So we're heavily populated, you could say. And they're not heavily populated. And this country here, there's a wee woman who was telling us at Daniel's wedding, it's only like 150 years from the been modernized, or, you know. And when you go out to where Daniel lives, there's no tarmac roads. They call them steel roads, the stone roads for miles. And you're driving on the stone roads for miles, so it's like dated it back in time. Feels like dated it back in time. And absolutely beautiful country with lots of hills and everything, and great farming country for dairy farming and everything. And but I thought it was just interesting, the statistics, the difference, how it's populated. And really nice people, but they keep a lot to themselves. They're very family oriented people, lovely people, keep a lot to themselves. But I was thinking, as I was traveling around New Zealand, and we got to travel, like it was 9 hours one way, and 2 days come down, 2 days come back up, and that was just a wee part of it. That wasn't even all of that, on North Island. Not one scripture did I see in the whole country. Not a one. In the towns, yes, there was wee churches. But you think of it over here in Northern Ireland, we are spoiled. We do not realize the blessed we are in this country. But I'm telling you, there's hardly a road or a tree. If I go home here today and I go up to the outlet, I won't get a mile on the wee thing in the tree, Jesus saves. There'll be another one, John 3:16. Somewhere along the road, the scriptures, pull in tomorrow, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. There's tracts and there's scriptures everywhere. But in New Zealand, it struck me. There was none on any of the travels. And even on the churches, there was very little information, scripture-wise. But there's plenty of advertising for other things. Now, I'm not knocking New Zealand, but this scripture kept coming to me. The fields are white. White for harvest. And I know we're living in the last days, and I know we're in the last church age. And I know that God's almost finished with the Gentiles. And I know that God's about to turn back to the Jewish people. I know that. But I believe the fields are white to harvest. And I believe that we need to reach out for the Lord while we're here. And I was coming back in the plane and I said to myself, Tommy McKinstry, you're getting old. Now you might say, Tommy, you're not old. Maybe I'm not, but I'm in my 50s. How long have I left? How long have I left? I don't know how long I've left. And I don't know what I'm going to do for the Lord. But I want to serve Him. And I want to do for the Lord. And I tell you, I said to Sister June, I was just saying to Sister June, I said, you know, Sister June, when I was up where Daniel lives in Dargaville, and his father-in-law on one farm owns 2,000 hectares, and on another farm, it's 1,000. Now, that's a lot of ground. And I thought to myself, just imagine you were here with a wee tent or with a wee mobile, like the brethren used to do, and other people do it. They still do it here in this country. We're blessed. How many times has a man over here put a wee mobile behind a head somewhere, and he's run a week of meetings and somebody's got saved? Or a wee tent somewhere and somebody's got saved? And there over in New Zealand, I was thinking about that. And June says to me, you know, your brother Tom, there was a man here who used to do that. And she told me of this man in New Zealand. He was well known. And he used to go around with a tent and preach all over the country. And I'm sure there's men still it. But I'll tell you, God needs young men. And there's so many churches and round different groups that we know, and they have nobody to step in. They have a pastor and that's it. There's not a normal man to step in. But when Jesus was here, 12 disciples. He didn't pick one. He had 12 disciples. And he sent them out two by two. And Paul ordained elders in everywhere he went to continue the work. And I tell you, if God's work's going to continue, we need to have a vision that's bigger than our own self. We need to have a vision for the youth that's following. That God would get a hold of some young men and some young women and touch their hearts and touch their lives and fill them with the Holy Spirit and send them out, for the fields are white. White to harvest. And I tell you, people so busy that they've no time for God. And they're so busy they've no time for the things of God. But the Lord Jesus is coming again. Jesus Christ is coming again. He's coming again. And I tell you, there's terrible times ahead. When you go into the revelations and into the seals, there's time of tribulation, there's a time of judgment, there's vows that's going to be poured out on this earth. And the Lord is coming again. And all we need to be ready. But I want to tell you, people that has no vision are not ready. Now you've heard me right. You haven't misunderstood me. I know a lot of people and they're sitting and they're waiting. And they're preaching themselves and they've no vision. And they've no desire for nobody else to get saved. I cannot accept that's the Spirit of the Lord. When Jesus was here, he said, it's my meat to do the will of the Father. The Lord Jesus came to preach the gospel. He was the salvation. And the work needs to be continued. And I tell you, just, you know, as I went round New Zealand and I saw New Zealand, and I know I'm not saying I'm going to go over there and be a hero and take the land of storm. I might never be back, I don't know. Only the Lord knows that. But I'm telling you, there's been a lot of preaching in different places and a lot of emphasis on things. And a lot of people's missed the whole thing. I've started a vision, the people perish. We need to have a vision for the lost. And we're blessed here. We're blessed here. There's people preaching the streets. They might be trying to stop it, but we have it. But you could go somewhere, and I'll tell you, you'll hear no preaching on the streets. You could go there for a long time, and very few people preaching the streets. Now, they do. There is some brothers in New Zealand do it. There's people over there doing it. I'm not saying they don't. But I'll tell you, there's actually an atmosphere in this country. It's not in some other countries. Now, you mightn't understand what I'm saying to you, but I know what I'm saying is right. There's a freedom here that we have that we need to keep for the gospel. That's the truth. And even in the South, we know different brothers in the South and they're preaching the gospel. It's not as open as the North, but they're doing it. They're making the effort to do it. And may the Lord help them. Jesus says the fields are white to harvest. And I thought of this, and I thought of the country, and I thought of what God could do. Now you'd need to support to do it. God needs young men. Young men. God's looking for young men to go forward, to go into the mission field. Missionaries. You know, we need missionaries. It's good to have a pastor. It's good to have an evangelist. It's good to have all them things, but we need real missionaries. They'll go out onto the field. They'll go around the world and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he saves and he heals and he's coming again. We need missionaries. Thank God for the missionaries. A missionary's not easy. You leave your family and you leave the country you're in and you leave everything and you go all out for God. It's not easy. It's not easy to do it, but we need people to do it. Praise the Lord. And I want to just share with you a few scriptures this morning. I'll not be any more than 10 minutes because I took up the time already. But tonight, and if you're too warm, open a window. It is warm in here. In New Zealand, it was the winter time, and it probably was near enough as warm as here is now. It wouldn't have made a big difference. And that all the cows out showing. We went round the fields moving fencers, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing there, and a foot deep across. And Leon moved the cows, and we went with him on one of them wee buggy yokes. She tows a wee trailer, and it's calving time over there. And every morning there could have been 12 to 18 calves born. And we're going down moving the fencers. I give them a hand a couple of mornings, and a hand to lift calves. And I could not believe the grass. It's winter time over there. And the grass was a foot long. And I mean a foot long. You could throw it with wellies. And it's a great country for grass. And the cows stay out all the time. And they're really like cows you'd have here years ago, like a British Friesian. Maybe with the Jerseys crossed into them. That's a beautiful way of life for people that like farming. It's a beautiful way of life. But you know what? I thought if I had the money and owned a farm in New Zealand, it's a beautiful way of life when I could go out there and buy a farm and live on it. But then you know what struck me? You can forget about God as well. And some people get so comfortable with their way of life. And they're doing well. They're doing well here. As far as earthly possessions goes, they're doing well. They've got the cars, the house, they've everything they need. And they're doing well. And they have a beautiful way of life. But God's not thought about. And God's never mentioned. And God's never named. And there's no reference whatsoever to God. And I'll tell you, we need the Lord. But there's a destiny that every one of us will face if the rapture doesn't take place, where there's death. It's appointed on the man wants to die, and after that's a judgment. And people's living a wonderful life, but they don't think of death. And the only time they want to minister is when they're getting married, when they're getting buried. And they don't even use ministers now for some of them things either. But I'll tell you, there's a judgment day coming. Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen. And I thank God I'm saved. And some of us mightn't have much as far as earthly possessions goes, but we have riches laid up in heaven. And I tell you, would that God would give me souls rather than land. Souls for the kingdom of God. And I tell you, we need souls for God's kingdom. Let me read this scripture this morning, and I'll say a few things, and then we'll maybe continue tonight. But I just wanted to share that scripture. You know, I believe God's talking to somebody in our meetings. I'm going to just tell you. Because before I left, it shared me about Peter throwing them nets over. You said maybe it's yourself. Praise God, maybe it is. But maybe it's somebody else as well. Maybe the Lord's been talking to you. And I shared about throwing the nets over. And then he kept thinking about the fields are white. And we need to be careful here that we're not waiting to get the right call or the right venue. We need to go forward with what we have. And we need to use what we have. And God will give us the rest, whatever we're going to need. Peter preached all night, and the Lord said, go again. And I've been hearing for years, we're twiddling around the back of the hedges. Now I know it's true, and I'm not belittling that doctrine or saying anything against it. But you can hear so much that we're going around the back of the hedges, and you can hear so much it's almost over, that you have no vision. But I tell you this morning when I was coming in here, this is harvest time over here. And I don't know the farmer out that road, but you're not going to tell him this morning. You see that field of barley you have, or wheat? Just leave it. He left the harvester in there, and he was right too. And they'll be taking a crop of that field. And he won't say it himself when he's finished, "I've took a good crop of this field, but you know the weather for next year's not looking good. I won't sow." When he takes a crop of that field, there'll come a time when he'll break up the fallow ground and he'll sow. And Jesus says here in that scripture read in John 4 that there's a sowing and there's a reaping. And we might go through a season. Some people say, "You're preaching for a long time, nobody's got saved." That's called sowing. Preaching is not in vain. When God leads you to preach, it's not in vain. It's sowing. And you keep on sowing, but there will be a harvest. And God could have somebody reap in a place they never sowed. I tell you, the Lord's coming. Well, what are we going to do for the Lord? What are we going to do for the Lord while we're here? And you say, "What can we do for the Lord?" We can do nothing for the Lord. God wants us to be available. He wants us to be available for Him. Excuse me, look with me to Hebrews. And time's near up, but look with me to Hebrews. And I just couldn't help thinking that. I know I've used this verse before, but I'm going to use it again. And this is not a message I've preached before, but I've used this scripture before. Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 3. "God who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, having these last days spoken unto us by his Son." Some versions say in his Son. "Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also the worlds," he made the worlds, "who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat on the right hand of the majesty on high." God, you see, sets forth many Old Testaments, divers manners, speaking in times past through the prophets. But it's contrasted here in Hebrews as he's speaking to us at the end of the Old Testament days in his Son. So God has spoken unto us in his Son. And I tell you, a lot of people say, "I want God to speak to me." But God has spoken. And God has spoken unto us here in Hebrews in his Son. And it's God that's talking. It's not the Son talking. It's God talking through the Son. And he's spoken to us. And we don't have to wait for somebody to come to tell us this or that, but the Lord has told us. And when we take this New Testament and we read what Jesus says, God's talking to us. And God's telling us what to do. Now we believe God can still speak in prophecies and all them things, but God has spoken to us in his Son. Now I tell you, that's how God talks. You see, this great message of Hebrews set before us in the Word, God has spoken to us how? Not after the former message in the Old Testament for prophets, but in the person of his Son. And God's declared his Son to be God. And he's declared his Son creator, upholder, Lord, heir of all things. That's when he's declared a Son. Now in the four Gospels, as four books of the Bible, Christ has set forth in these records, in these four Gospels. In Matthew, he walks before us as the King of Israel. In Mark, he walks before us as the servant of Jehovah. In Luke, he walks before us as the Son of Man. In John, he walks before us as the Word, eternal, made flesh. The only begotten Son, the Creator, God. You know, I've seen Church of the Latter-day Saint on the plane, and they had their badges and their names, Church of the Latter-day Saints, and they were well-dressed and they were looking good. And when they came home, I started looking up what they believed. They believed that Jesus and Satan's two brothers. That's what they believe. But you see, there's a point here that's simple, but it's profound. Jesus is more than a man. And if you only see Jesus and you only preach Jesus as a man, you've missed it. You're working with a half-truth. God in flesh. God has spoken in His Son. And I don't care how well they're dressed and what badges they wear. If they've never been born again of the Spirit of God, and they don't believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, they're antichrist. But they're ever so well dressed. And they've works programs and other programs. In the Old Testament, God spake by the prophets. Now God has spoken unto us in the person of His Son. God made manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Justifying the Spirit, seen angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed in the world, received up into glory. God has spoken in the flesh in His Son. Now we know in the Old Testament that God came on the scene. He spoke many times in diverse manners and forms. He even took on Him a theophany body. And he made it, stepped into it, visited Abraham in Genesis 18. Great Melchizedek. He spoke as an angel of the Lord to Moses. He appeared in the pillar of fire, the burning bush. But in these last days, He's spoken to us by His Son. I tell you something. He can make a lot of emphasis on our Son, but we're talking about the Son. The Son. You see, atheists and fools deny the being of God. Many people today ignore Him, living their own selfish lives. And one day they'll hear the words, "Depart from me." But I tell you, we don't ever want to hear the words, "Depart from me." But we want to hear the words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord." That's what we want to hear. The scripture in Hebrews 1 is all about the person and the place of God's Son. Now I'm going to close this morning. It's just a wee introduction. I'm not going to hold you long because I want you to come back to that. Some of you might come back, but anyway. It's God's truth. The Lord's coming again, isn't it? You know, some people can be so busy. Hear me this morning to the close. Some people are so busy. They never take a holiday. And they never take a break. And they've no thought for God. And they're running. They haven't time to walk, they're running. And the more they get, the more they want. And there's a fellow in the Bible. He had a vision. He wanted to build bigger barns. The ones he had weren't big enough. You know, this wee scripture says, "Be content with such things as you have." But I tell you, what does God want to do? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things are added unto you." God can bless people. God can prosper people. But we need to remember the Lord. We need to remember the Lord. People quote Solomon and they quote all these great men of God, but they remembered the Lord. They might have backslidden all, but they remembered the Lord. But there's a lot of people in this world today and they've no thought for God. They're running down in a race and they've no thought for God and they're heading on a broad road to destruction. But the Lord's coming. Let's stand our feet this morning. And I know maybe I haven't said much, but I trust maybe the Lord will bless you and we'll maybe have more of a look tonight. I didn't want to hold you too long. Let's just bow our head this morning. If you want prayer, let's lift your hand up before the Lord this morning. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your mercy and for your grace, for your love and your truth you've showed toward us. Father, I pray you bless everyone in this room and those listening in. And Lord, I do pray for Brother Howard, Sister June, and the fellowship. You bless them and strengthen them. Thank you for the time we had with them. Pray for all our family circles from this house. All that's near this and dear to us, our sons, our daughters, aunts and uncles, perhaps husband and wives. Lord, we need you to move on them and speak to them and save them. Bring them to yourself. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.
The Lord bless you, Brother Gary.
Well, we will try and sing that. These are the days of Elijah, preparing the way of the Lord.